Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and then out of Paul's letter in Philippians. Out of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it's Jesus, and he says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And then the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 at verse 7 and 8, and I'm reading from the Message translation, and he writes this, "The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung." Talk about a life-changing moment. That's what happened when God stopped and blinded the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. And in that moment, God brought an end to the life of Saul, as it was known before then, and that life he was leading, so Paul now could live the life God intended for him to live. You wonder why Paul changed after that experience with God. Clearly, it got his attention. Maybe Paul was suddenly overwhelmed with his own sense of mortality and realized the unproductive and destructive path his life was on, thinking about what he had done with his life up to that point. Maybe everything up to then really was all, as he said, dog dung for him. Pretty graphic expression of his life before then. Whatever it was, Paul finally got a sense of the abundant life, the life of impact, which God meant for him to live. It came as Paul trusted, as Paul turned and surrendered to the God he had been rejecting and fighting all his life. The God who, with his eyes always on Paul, found the Paul he wanted to use for the purpose Paul was created. The last few weeks, we've been thinking about our purpose aligned with God, and we've looked at the things keeping us from that God-ordained purpose, those difficulties that we encounter in just everyday living, the voices and the expectations of the world around us, the disappointments and defeats which occur on our journey, the things we hide from others, and the image we try to portray to the world so as to show to them that we're worthy when maybe we don't feel that way. Sadly, all of those keep us from living the lives that we were meant to live. We instead saw that our purpose will be found when we stop trying to be someone we're not, and instead turn to the God who is always after us, to allow him to find us, to lead us, walk with us, and help us embrace the life he intentionally created us to live. My elder granddaughter, Hannah, told me the other day that she had just watched Dead Poets Society, and it made her think. I would imagine it did. It made me think when I saw it a number of times. In the movie, a new English professor, Mr. Keating, arrives at Helton Academy, which was an all-boys school. Mr. Keating is played by the late, the very talented, and sadly, very troubled Robin Williams. In one scene early in the movie, Mr. Keating walks from the front of the classroom, past the rows of students, to the back of the class, and out the door, and then returns and calls the students to follow him into the hallway. "Well, come on," he demands. All of his students are now standing with him in the hallway, before the trophy case, which, in addition to containing trophies, contains the photographs of Helton Academy graduates from years past. Mr. Keating hands their poetry book to one of the students and asks him to read a certain poem from the page that he has it open to. The student reads this, "Gather ye rosebuds while you may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying." With that, Professor Keating continues to build on a point that he had made earlier in the classroom when he'd gathered the boys around him and very intentionally began to unsettle their hearts and minds with this statement: the powerful play of life goes on, and each of us can contribute a verse. What will your verse be? He asked them. What will your verse be? With that thought floating around through their minds, they now stand there in the hallway, staring into the faces contained in those old photographs of basketball, football, and baseball players on teams from decades before. Photos of faces with now hollow stares and seemingly empty eyes, eyes which no doubt once had held the same hopes and beliefs as theirs, yet in too many cases, hopes which went unfulfilled. You could almost hear the students wondering to themselves as they continued to stare into those faces in the photographs, will their lives have the same result? The boys realized that they didn't know anything about the real person behind the faces in all those photos, except that they were gone. Did they ever feel worthy? Did they ever reach their God-given potential? Did they ever feel like they were found, that anyone, anywhere, ever really cared about them? Now they were dead, with their bodies buried somewhere, fertilizing daffodils, Professor Keating suggests. As the students continued to lean into the faces and the photos before them, Mr. Keating begins to plant what he hoped would become a life-changing paradigm shift, a new view of life for the boys, when he whispers just loud enough for them to all hear, carpe diem, carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. In that moment, Mr. Keating was pushing them out of their comfort zones and toward all they can be and should be. But it had to start with how they, and not others, viewed themselves and how they viewed their purpose in life. Were they simply going through each day and missing all they could be? Were they just living up to what someone else expected of them? Or was it possible for them to seize the day, to seize the life that was intended to be their life, not what somebody else had said it should be, and to be all they were created to be? What did they believe was the verse for them to play, the purpose of their lives at this time in the history of God's creation? And underlying all of that, even though it was not openly stated in the movie, was how God viewed them. God sent his Son to earth to find us, to lift us, to lead us, so that we might live life and live it abundantly. Do we view life as Christ came to offer it to us, with all the possibilities of abundance, or do we view it as always fraught with problems and impending disaster? Our view of our life will determine how we will walk in our todays, and it will set the roadmap for our tomorrows. Our view of our lives will determine whether we will seize the day or shrink back from it in fear as the dawn of each new morning breaks. We are each created to live the abundant life, the full life, the life which has an impact for good in the world. It's the life Christ came to assure us and call us to. And our view of that life must begin with our commitment to seize the day. Carpe diem, to live each day and our one and only life to the fullest, aligned with Him. And it begins as we turn to Him, to find and live the abundant life, the life of eternal impact we were meant to live, to find the life that is ours, that is yours and mine, to step out of our comfort zones, to dare to risk and to move beyond the routines of a daily 8-to-5 life that we think will provide the security of a salary and benefits, maybe though to go along with the boredom and waste of never living the life God intended for you or for me to live, where perhaps you or I reach the end of your life and realize too late that you missed the life you could have and should have lived. The Apostle Paul did that. After his blinding light experience with God, where God found him on the Damascus Road, an experience where he was confronted by the living God, and then Paul began to find the purpose for his life. He turned. He surrendered. He trusted. He changed his view of all he could be and should be. He changed his heart. And who he was created to be was finally found by the God of all creation. And then he was sent out to live the life and have the impact that only he, Paul, could have. He seized the day. He seized the life which was his to live with Christ. And because of Paul's life, the world would never be the same then and today. What about you? What about me? Let me suggest this to you. Carpe diem, my friends. Seize the day. Seize the life you were created to live. It will make a difference for all eternity. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for my dear friends. Thank you for this moment where you grab us, push us, move us, touch us, send us, but shake us just a little bit to remind us of who we are and who you created us to be. Help us, Lord, not to just go through life, but to seize the day, to seize the life that you created us to live, to be all that you created us to be. And here's what's so neat about all of that. We don't do it by ourselves. We do it aligned with you and with your power and peace and presence in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son. And it's his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.